Hello and welcome to Bishop Ato Dixon's podcast. Bishop Ato Dixon is a true son of Bishop Dagwood Mills and the convener of Jesus is the Rock Church, a denomination under the United Denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Listen and be blessed as he shares with you deep messages from the Word of God.
Father, we want to bless your name for the gift that you've freely given to us, even the gift of life. We are so thankful to you, Lord, that day after day, you keep watch over us. Not because of what we've done, not unto us, O Lord, but unto your name. This morning, Lord, privileged to be counted among the living, we are saying we are forever grateful to you. Lord, we thank you that you are with us, even in the times of trouble. You are the very present help in times of trying and difficult situations. And in the midst of it all, Lord, you uphold us by your right hand of righteousness. This morning, Lord, we bow down in awe and worship to your holy name. We are gathered here not as a normal ritual, but we are gathered here because we are certain of the very fact that you are here with us to bring us healing. Healing in our minds. Healing in our spirit, healing in our body. And we are here, Lord, to have sweet fellowship with you. We pray for your discharge of angels, ministering angels to minister strength and to minister life to your church. Thank you, sweet Spirit of God. Thank you for your power and your presence. Thank you for your mighty, mighty, mighty hand and your mighty move. Lord, we thank you for your word. The songwriter said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you." Your word says, "How shall a young man cleanse his ways? Except by taking heed to the word of God." Your word says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and thy word is a light unto my path. I pray in the name of Jesus that this morning your word will come alive. And God, whatever darkness surrounds us, we will receive illumination. Illumination, oh God, that will cause us to chart the path of this life. And be overcomers of the trials of the season and the era. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Sweet Spirit of God, we acknowledge your presence and we acknowledge your power. I pray that, Lord, the power of depression is lifted. Because of the power of God, we cancel every works of darkness and we declare that on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. On Mount Zion there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. There shall be fire. I pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost will stir us alive. Will continue to burn for Jesus. Lord, use these lips of mine. And Lord, touch my heart and my lips with coals of fire. I pray that I will not speak what men say, but I will minister under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Use this vessel of clay to be a blessing to your church this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We never cease to thank you for the finished work on the cross of Calvary. be glorified in Jesus' precious name. And all said amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you come put your hands together. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, before I preach, I have some wonderful friends in the house. Amen. This church is an international church. You know, and we belong to an international family. You know, I just noticed that sometimes when you don't know what you have, it leads to abnormal use called abuse. You see, abuse is abnormal use. It's two words put together. Hallelujah. But God has placed us in this beautiful family. The Bible says that He sets the solitary in families. And thank God that He's blessed us, you know, with a family head, a father, Bishop Dagwood Mills. And one day I heard somebody say that Jesus says that don't call anybody father, so on earth there are no fathers. Then, Charlie, those of you who are being called fathers, you have to be careful, because that's what it means. And then another person also said that, I mean, there is only one father. That means that the Catholics too are in trouble, because they are priests, they call them fathers. Hallelujah. But all these things are works of wickedness to weaken the church. But you know, one of the things that strengthens the church is persecution. Yeah. If that's why the Bible says that if the devil had known, he wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. See, what he didn't know was that the crucifixion, that persecution, was about to reveal the power and the strength of who Jesus is. Amen. Anyway, I've not started preaching. I'm trying to introduce some people. Amen. Well, this morning I'm going to speak shortly. Amen. Shortly. Hallelujah. And it is my prayer that God will open your eyes and God will stir up something in your spirit. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. I am still teaching and talking about prayer. Amen. Because it looks like we sometimes lose out on the relevant things in our lives that we should take very seriously and develop a certain level of desire for. Amen. There are relevant things in our lives. I mean, we sometimes would want to have money, we sometimes want to have jobs, sometimes we want to have husband, wife. You know, these are like things that people call prosperity. It's like when you get a car, you get a house, you get a husband, you get a wife. Charlie, you are prospered. And you have some small business that you are doing. That something comes, it's like prosperity. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you that you must get engaged in things that are not only for here, but also must develop into something that will give you value for eternity. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 11, the disciples of Jesus Christ saw Jesus praying, you know, and they had seen John praying in the past, and they had seen John teaching his disciples to pray. And when they saw Jesus pray, they approached him. And in verse 1, he said, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, it was a certain place. May God give you a certain place where you can pray. You must be known, and a certain place must be known in your life where when you enter that area, it means that, Charlie, you are going to have a certain relationship, deep intercourse with the Father. So the Bible says, as he was praying in a certain place, When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. So he was praying and then he went on a break. Hallelujah. And during the break, one of the disciples came to him and said that, you know what? We've learned many things from you. There are many things we have observed over the period. Now, this aspect also we want to learn. We have seen you pray, and we want to learn how to pray. Amen. Then he began to teach them, saying that when you pray, say. Everybody say, when you pray, say. Yeah. So anytime you are praying, there must be utterance. You need to speak. You need to say. He said, when you are praying, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, recognizing your Father, your Maker, your God, the one who brought you into being, recognizing and acknowledging him. Hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name is honoring him, worshiping him. Thy kingdom come. So you notice that right after the worship and reverence and acknowledgement of God, the first thing that comes up as a major topic is your kingdom come. The kingdom must be very important to your heart. Hallelujah. When you lose out, you know, when you lose out on seeking the kingdom and allow other things to take preeminence, you have missed a great opportunity to be blessed. Amen. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Sometimes in our prayer, we seek after our own will over and above the will of God. And so we are pressured. Our prayer is physically centered. It's centered around the flesh. But I am telling you that your prayer must be centered spiritually. You know, one day, there's a guy who would always call wolf. The wolf, the wolf, the wolf, the wolf, the wolf didn't show up. Then you shout again, the wolf, the wolf, the wolf, the wolf didn't show up. You see, the fact that you pray physically doesn't mean you get answers. The fact that you open your mouth and speak, you see, you must pray according to the will of God. Your answers, you see, what attracts God is not your physical needs. What attracts God is things that are centered around the kingdom. And so, sometimes you see, I remember many years ago when the girls used to be in Wesley Girls. Anytime I went to Cape Coast and I was on my way back, you know, it's a whole project. You know, you would stay in traffic for a very long time. Those of you who have children in Cape Coast, that's how it has been. It's not like something has changed or you've been introduced. You have been introduced to something new, but what has been is what shall always be. You know? Then you would see that a motorcade, is passing by. Do you get it? Yeah. But I mean, when I see the motorcade, then immediately I also join. Then I put my hazard on. Do you understand? And then I'll just be moving. Then the policeman will be very angry and then they'll stop the car and I move back. Now, what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that answers to your physical needs derives its strength from when you are praying about the kingdom. So what it says that if you like, the kingdom is like the motorcade. Do you understand? You want to move fast. So the motorcade is moving. Once you bring up the motorcade issue, you can also take advantage of it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? To also cover some distance. In the same way, what I'm saying is that when the kingdom becomes your priority, it becomes also is the priority of God. It attracts God's attention. And when you attract God's attention, other things can also slip through. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Other things. But you see, many Christians have had disappointments, heartaches, because as if the God that we serve, the God that we have known all this while, have stopped answering prayers. He has not stopped. He is still in the business of answering prayers. But your heart must be kingdom-minded first. Kingdom-minded. Yes. When you are praying, any prayer that you pray which is not in line with God's will, He will not answer it. That one I'm telling you. Yeah. He will not answer it. I'm just trying to let you understand that once the prayer is not aligned to the will of God, it's of no relevance. Yeah, if it's not the will of God for you to marry next week and you are praying for a husband next week, you won't get answers. Because God has His own plan for your life. Before He brought you on earth, He had His own agenda and plan for you. And He said it clearly in Jeremiah 29, He said, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and to give you hope." So God has His own plan for your future. And you will be wiser if you start seeking, what is God's plan in this issue? What is God's will in this situation? What is God trying to do? Do you understand? Even Jesus, He acknowledged the plan of His Father and aligned Himself. He said, "Hitherto my Father work, and I'm working. I do what I see my Father doing." Is somebody understanding what I'm trying to say? You know, so the disciples now come to Jesus, and Jesus teaches them, when you pray, say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Before, give us this day our daily bread. You see, the daily bread you've been asking for, the kingdom must come first. Yeah. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread simply meaning the things that you lust after, or the things that you long to have. Hallelujah. Before you pray that prayer, you should have prayed God's will and God's kingdom to be in place first. Amen. So you wake up in the morning, and then when we pray, "Father, we want to thank you so much for a wonderful day that you've given to us. It's such a wonderful day. We believe, we confess it. We are commanding." Our bishop said we should command the morning, so we command the morning in the name of Jesus. And we really, really want, "Lord, as I am going out, I'm praying that, Lord, I will break through in business." Where is the kingdom? The kingdom is a priority above and beyond any other thing you think you are. And listen, whatever God will give to you, He gives it to you with the kingdom in mind. If God wants to finance you, God wants to bless you financially, the finances He gives you is because the kingdom is His priority. So that is how come you see that there are people who, possibly after the Lord has blessed them, they change. And they make their priorities the priority instead of the kingdom being the priority. You see that the flow of the resources ceases. But if you are a wise son of God and a wise child of God, you will always seek after His kingdom. You will always seek after, how can I advance the kingdom? You see, and the more you advance His kingdom, the more He empowers you. He empowers you to advance the kingdom. So there are many Christian businessmen, there are many Christian people who are frustrated now. Because their problem is that we pay our tithe. How come we are not seeing results? When you pay your tithe, the heavens are open though. The windows of heavens are opened unto you. But I am telling you that until you engage in something, heaven will not rain dollars. Heaven will facilitate what you are engaged in. Yeah. He doesn't bless your hands. He blesses the work of your hands. Did you hear what I just said? I said, God doesn't bless your hand. He blesses the what? The work of your hands. And when you are doing the work of your hands, the priority must be the kingdom. And you see, the kingdom advancement is not paying of the title. No. Paying on the of the tithe is your responsibility as a kingdom partaker. It's your natural. It's like living in Ghana and then you are working and then you are paying tax. It's your obligation as a worker to pay tax. So that is not, paying of tithe is not advancing the kingdom. Paying of tithe is recognizing and acknowledging the one who provided all the resources, the strength, the contacts, the connection, and say that I acknowledge you. So a tenth is not mine, a tenth is yours. But to advance the kingdom is another thing. Where you take up charges and responsibilities of the kingdom. Where you are seeing to it that anything that can serve, I can use to serve as a vehicle to move the kingdom further, I will do. Yeah. So when there are crusades, you rise up and say, no, I want to give $10,000 to push it. To make us rich. I mean, how much can we chop? And how much can the evangelist chop? It is to your advantage. You see, but Satan has clouded our judgment so much that we worship money so much that it's as if that when somebody is placing a demand on your money, it's as if you are a loser. But you are not a loser. Because what you need to understand is that this physical earth is governed and ruled by the spiritual world. What you are seeing physical, look, your body you are wearing is a physical suit for the spirit. The real government is in the realms of the spirit. Oh, yes. So that's how come you see, I said, you see politicians, they come, they give you, look, and they mean what they say. You see, you people, you don't know. They really mean what they say. It's not like they are telling lies. They really want to do it. But I am telling you that when they take over, you see that there's a principality that cannot be seen, that takes charge, and then they lose control. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, Daniel chapter 10 verse 13 will show you something. Look, the man had prayed, answers were coming. But Charlie, somebody intercepted. Let me read from 10:10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. See, this was a man that the Lord loved. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 121 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Did you see that? So there are the princes of the kingdom of Persia who are not seen. And then he remained with the kings of Persia. They are the ones who are seen. So the chief, was the king of Persia. He's the one who says, let's do this, let's do that. But the control tower is the princess that nobody can see. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. So sometimes you have no idea. The princess, the ideas, the plans, they have hatched. Hatch plans. Hey, I'm telling you, look, the spiritual world there. There's wickedness there. There's wickedness there. I'm telling you. You see, there's wickedness in the spiritual world, especially when you are in the world governed and controlled by Satan. Because see, their way of the Holy Spirit express love. Do you understand? And love is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But evil spirits, what they express is hatred. So they cannot express love. So what they express is hatred. What they express is wickedness. What they express, you know, is to destroy. That's what they know. So when an evil spirit, when a demon is contending against you, all it can express is wickedness. Yeah. Yeah. Whilst the Holy Spirit is expressing love, you know, because he's a Holy Spirit, the demons are expressing hatred. Yeah. So when a prince like that now comes to contend against you, you shouldn't expect anything better. Amen. And every location has a principality. Where you live, there's a principality there. Because you see, there are also other things that has to do with fallen angels who fell. Look, the world there, you have no idea. So when you live in this world and you think that I would just want to be carnal, I would just want to think about something and do it as I think, it doesn't work that way. There must be a hand that must be backing you. There must be a hand that must be contending on your behalf. There is a hand. But how do you do this? There must be a complete and a continuous engagement with the Lord in prayer. So those of you who don't pray, you have exposed yourself. You have exposed yourself too much. You are too much of a prey to the enemy. Hallelujah. The disciples were interested. They wanted to know how to pray. And today, I'm going to actually teach you how to pray in your closet. Because let me tell you something. If you want to see open rewards, open rewards take place because you engage in secret things. Yes. There are three things the Bible talks about that we need to handle secretly. Number one is prayer. Number two is fasting. And number three is giving. All right? Yeah. These three things, if you are going to see a major open reward in your secret place, you must engage in it. Yeah. And I'm talking about prayer this morning. Amen. Talking about prayer this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody been blessed already. Or you are afraid. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 5. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Now, this is Jesus speaking. This is not just mere words coming from anywhere. This is not one of the disciples talking. This is the Savior, the one we believe, in whom we believe. Hallelujah. He says, "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." You know, we have two major ways. One is corporate prayer, where congregational prayer, a group of people meet to pray, all of us come together, and then we offer prayer. And then we also have private prayers. Many believers only are used to congregational prayers. I mean, if prayers are not organized, if prayer and fastings are not organized, you don't have any private life. You don't have any private prayer time. You don't have any time where it's like this particular time and this particular time and this particular time, I spend time intensively in the presence of the Lord. Many Christians don't pray. Many of us, you see, if you can see me, I can also see you don't pray. And you know that you don't pray. Yes. But to get a certain result, you need to learn how to pray in your closet. Amen. He said, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Secret prayers lead to open rewards. You want to see open rewards? You want to see the mighty hand of God at work? You want to see a move of the Spirit in your life? You must learn to go on your knees in secret. Yeah. Not to say corporate prayers doesn't do much, but I'm telling you that to have a certain open reward, to have a certain type of results, you must be a man and a woman of prayer in your closet. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He had a private time. He had a private life. I mean, in Mark chapter 1 verse 35, the Bible talks about it. In Matthew chapter 26 verse 41, the Bible talks about it. Jesus always spent quality time alone praying. Now the question I want to ask you is that, how is your private prayer life? How is your private prayer life? We seem to be so busy about nothing. One man wrote a book, he said, "Much ado about nothing." We are so busy, and our busyness doesn't gain or win for us anything. But this morning, I've come to stare in somebody that, listen to me, if you're a businessman, you should pray. If you are a professional, you should pray. If you are a wife, you should pray. If you are a husband, you should pray. Whatever you think you are engaged in, don't leave prayer. Prayer is not for pastors. Prayer is for every believer. If you are a believer, you believe that the Lord exists, then you must pray. Hallelujah. You don't pray because there's a witch destroying you. Those prayers are desperate prayers. You pray because you want to continue that intimate relationship with your Father which is in heaven. That is why Jesus said, when you are praying, say, "Our Father which art in heaven," that you are engaged in a certain level of intimacy, a level of relationship with the Master. The question is, how is your private prayer life? You see, as people who carry flesh and blood, there is always the tendency to showcase what people can see. Because man generally looks on the outside. Man is very impressed with what goes on the outside. That's why some people buy some kind of cars that they buy. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the reason why he bought a Ferrari is for you to know that Charlie is a prosperous person. He's trying to make a statement. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So you see that a lot of you, sometimes you even see a building. You see the outside is looking very posh. When you go inside, there's nothing in it. Have you noticed that there are things like that? Of course, there are also some buildings. When you see outside, it's as if that nothing is there. Then when you see inside, well, that person has also caught another revelation. Yeah. Sometimes you can see a fine gentleman, very well dressed, but the underwear, you cannot stand it. An underwear means singlet. Singlet is an underwear. You see, because the underwear, nobody sees it. So I cannot be bothered if it is tattered or there are holes in it. Some of you men, if I say everybody should remove his shoes, we'll be in trouble right now. If you like, let me experiment. If you dare me, I would experiment. Do you know why? Because man's orientation is towards what people see. But let me tell you something. That which brings open reward is that which people cannot see. That which people cannot see. Oh, yeah. One day the Bible is said of a man in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, I think, called Naaman. Everybody knew him as an army general. Everybody knew him as a great warrior. Everybody knew him as a wonderful person. And that is all people knew about him. But those who were close to him knew that he was a leper. The problem of the church, the problem of the Christian, is that instead of being spiritual, we choose to be carnal. And it's only carnal people who always want to showcase carnal things. Of course, if you are carnal, what else can you showcase? You can't showcase anything spiritual.
That's right.
Yeah. But when you are a spiritual person, you see that sometimes people even don't respect you for being spiritual. They have to sit in your meetings. And when they sit in your meeting, they see the power, the manifestation of the power and the presence of God. You see that their mindset. And even that, you see, what convinced them was what they saw. And I have a problem of people who make choices based on what you see. Look, that's the reason why some girls are not married in this church, I'm telling you. That's the reason. Because you are looking for something. You are in search for something. And until I see that thing, I will not say yes. Of all the many things that happen in life, it's the beard that made you say yes. It's very serious. What happens when they shave the beard? Yeah. Yeah. You should see somebody will be flowing with somebody so nicely. Then the person just says something. I'm from Cameroon. Then your mind changes. You were getting along. The relationship seems to be clicking. Then he said that, oh, I'm from Abeokuta. Then he said, you know something? I changed my mind. I'm an Ewe. I'm a Fanti. I'm an Ashanti. So you see that our lives predominantly is influenced by the things we see in the natural. But I pray for you in the name of Jesus that may your life be influenced from the realms of the spirit. And how can it be influenced? You can be in your closet and you'll be making changes about situations and circumstances on the open. Oh yeah. Listen, if you're a pastor, you are believing God for a mega church. Yes, Basanta is great and we will continue doing it because we believe in that revelation. But you need to know that you can produce a mega church in private. When you go before the Lord and you pray and you ask God that, Lord, build your church. Let your kingdom be established. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. So you see that you are so engaged with natural things that you have become worn out. You are tired. It's like this God we are serving is too... Let me tell you something. You don't need any endorsement to buy any physical work. Every work that is supposed to be done has been done by Jesus on the cross already. What has happened to you is that you have been privileged to be attached to something that he's already doing. Yours is to make things happen from the place of private into bringing it into the physical realm. Say amen to that. Amen. So he said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Enter where? Enter into where? Yeah. Hey, you see people. Collective prayer like this. That's where you see. Hey. It's not easy. But the question I want to ask you is that, do you do that same thing in your private? Do you do it? When you are also in private, do you do it? Do you even get the time to pray? Do you even make the time to enter into your closet? Let alone make noise. Listen to me. You are going to be victorious if you are going to literally take Jesus' words and apply it and say, the Lord, from today, I'm going to spend quality time in your presence. Quality time. Because the earthly suit you are wearing, when you share the earthly suit, everything that is about the earth is not important anymore. What will be very important will be the person that you are, which is the spirit. That is what will be the most important. Yeah. Yeah. That is why even when you take, for instance, you want to get rid of a tree and you cut it, the top. You see, you cut the top, it will spring forth again. I had some tree in my house. Not the mango. I had some tree in my house. Now, I asked somebody to come and cut the tree. When he came, my mind was that he should uproot it. You know what the person told me? He said, Bishop, if we uproot it, we will break portions of your wall. We will break portions of your tile work that has been done. We will actually even have to go further down under your foundation and break portions. Then I said, you know something? cut on top. When it is coming, we'll cut. Then we'll do a rockery around it. So when people come, you see what men sees. People come, they will see that it's a rockery, but they don't know that we're actually covering something. Because when you are dealing with something that cannot be seen, the root is deeper than you think. When you are trying to make effort to address things, and listen to me, if you can learn to go to the root of things, and the things that you deal with has roots. The issues that you deal with has roots. You cannot continue to cut on top. The root is from the realms of the spirit. And if you are not a spiritual person who goes into the closet to have communion with God, you cannot deal with issues from the very root. Oh, yes. May the Lord help us. He said, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which sees in secret. Thy Father who sees what? Yeah. I'm tempted to think that God's vision is clearer, more in secret than in the open. I'm tempted. When I read this scripture, that's the revelation that I get. That I think God is, his visibility is clearer when things are done in secret. Because when things are done in secret, it's you alone. But when things are done in the open, there's so many people. Distractions. Hallelujah. Hey, you are sick in your body. You can deal with it in secret. Hey, the business is going in a certain way. You can deal with it. Don't hand over the problem to a pastor to pray. Open prayers for you. Take charge of the situation yourself and go into the secret place and contend and pray and seek the face of the Father who sees in secret. He reward you openly. We have become so lazy that we feel that once the pastor lay hands, that's not it here. It's a problem we are seeing. When pastor pours oil, I'll be fine. Things will be addressed. But what you need to understand is that things are not static. Things are dynamic. So yes, the things will be addressed. Today's all will be addressed, but the tomorrow one, what happens? We continue pouring oil on you. Tiano pebi ao soya, me soya na line e wo mi fi. Ya ba beje anopa wayam. You need to get to the place where, as Jesus prescribed, you can enter the private place and address issues. That's why sometimes when I sleep, people are having prayer and fasting. 40-day prayer and fasting banner. I say, man. See, the problem, I don't care whoever put it there. You are seen as a great person. But when I judge you with scriptures, you are doing something untoward. Yeah. That's why even our prayer and our fasting, I said that come and pray. I'm not doing online. I'm not doing online because I am looking for people who will genuinely come to the secret place to come and pray. And I saw the people who genuinely wanted to pray. Because sometimes there are people who genuinely don't want to pray. When you even do it on the open, they will not come. They will just pass through. Create the avenue for people who genuinely want to spend quality time in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is important to learn how to pray privately. It is important. Turn to somebody and tell him, it is important to learn how to pray privately. Oh, tell him, it is important to learn how to pray privately. Yeah. There are people who only know how to pray in a group. I mean, there are people, if the thing is not a group thing, forget it. Oh, the choristers, we are going for retreat. Aha! Oh, this Basanta group, we are going to Mount Paul for a retreat. Aha! There is a place for that. But your day-to-day life must be a day-to-day life of private prayers as you receive open rewards. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. How many of you show your private part to everybody? When you see a mental person, you get very, very disturbed, especially when they are so naked and you feel so bad for them. It's as if it is you. Private things are not exposed for everyone. But do you see the results of private things? When you see a woman pregnant, it was done in private. When you see a pregnant woman with twins, it wasn't an open thing. It was an intercourse between two lovers in private, and the reward came openly. May you have an intercourse with the Lord. May you be determined to have a certain level of prayer relationship with the Lord that brings forth fruits. Brings forth fruit. You just look at the secret things. Look, and that is how come you would even see that that all these false guys, they even understand secret things. You hear secret society, you hear secret this, they are meeting secret. They understand the principles that govern spiritual things. And then you see Christians have become entertainers, doing open things. All you have is what is seen. But what about that which is not seen? Bishop, you know, my husband, I'm not marrying again. I'm tired. Listen to me. Instead of wasting energy to make that statement, go to that private place. Go and seek the face of the Lord. And tell the Lord and share with him everything that your heart has been affected with. The Bible says he will reward you openly. So you see that sometimes even we judge people. You see, and we need to be very careful. We judge people. We judge people because they don't seem to be forthcoming. They don't seem to be seen, you know, doing certain things and all that. They are quite way, we're backsliding and everything. You are so busy that you feel that your busyness actually means you are more spiritual. But I pray for you in the name of Jesus that from today you are going to develop a certain private life in the area of prayer. And you are going to make a difference. I said you are going to make a difference. Hey, you have a child who is going wayward. You have a wayward child. You have gone to the psychologist. You have gone here. Go on your knees. Go on your knees. Turn to somebody and tell him, go on your knees. They can only attend a prayer meeting where a lot of people are praying and shouting together. Yeah. Jesus taught us to pray by going into the closet. What is a closet? What is a closet? The closet represents your private room, your private place. God wants to meet you all alone. Turn to somebody and tell him, God wants to meet you all alone. Oh, tell him, God wants to meet you all alone. Hallelujah. Why must you learn how to pray in private? The private prayer is a prayer that results in open rewards. Some people are going to receive open rewards. After hearing this message, the Lord is going to stir up in you a certain desire and determination to spend quality time in private with the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. That is why the things that fight against you are the things that are very close in private. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah, the best person who can know more about you is the person who is close to you. I mean, if I want to ask about Reverend Nat, I'm not going to ask about Reverend Nat from Reverend Frank or Lady Pastor Marilyn. It's Lady Pastor Eugenia I'll ask. Especially when I want to ask about deep things. Yeah. They will not have a clue. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. The closer you are to the Lord, you even get to understand him better. You get to know him better. You get to understand what he's trying to do. You get to be very confident enough that what you have presented to him, you have a full assurance in your heart that he has done it. So you see many Christians, though are practicing Christians, but are empty. They feel some level of emptiness and they feel some level of void in their spirit and in their soul. It's because, you see, what must make you full? Spending quality time in the secret place with him, you have chosen not to engage in it. You enjoy more of the open. Sometimes you see, yeah. When you ask, what did the pastor? Oh, he preached powerfully. Nothing. Nothing. Some of you, the best time that you can receive the word of God would be having a quiet moment with the Lord, especially after you have heard such a message and you go and ponder over the message, like the people of Berea. The Bible says they were more noble than the people of Thessalonica, in that the things that they were taught, they said through the scriptures, whether the things were so. You go through it and you begin to take it one after the other, just like a sheep would do. Will eat the grass and get to a place and vomit it out and take his time to munch on it till it's well masticated, and then the digestion is good. Better digestion. But you see, immediately we leave from church, that's it. So you have just 11% retention. And by the time you engage with three or four friends, the 11% has evaporated. Yeah. Because you'll be confronted with some issues of life. And that issue of life will just cause it to evaporate. And that issue of life will rather occupy your mind. I am encouraging you, church, that if you are going to experience God in a certain way, you need to develop how to pray in your closet. Spending quality private time with God. Hallelujah. When you are praying, pray his will. Don't pray your will. His will must be paramount to you. Because after all, there's a reason why he brought you here on earth. Yeah. And I think that's what, I mean, what's the use of something that has been made for something and you cannot use it for that thing? It's useless. True or not true? Have you ever wondered why you do not have certain public demonstrations of God's love on your life? Public acknowledgement by God will only come out of a private and secret meeting you have had with him. You admire God even more when you spend quality time with him. You admire people more when you are close to them, one-on-one. You know, because you get to know the real person you are dealing with. Because when a person is on the open, he's also tempted to act in a certain way. You see, it's like the person is a bishop. You see, and a bishop, oh, hallelujah, how are you? You are blessed. Praise the Lord. Oh, wow. Oh, great. But when you are sitting with a person who is wearing his shorts and his t-shirt and you are talking, you will see that, no, there is another side to the person. There's another side to the person. He can joke. He can relax. He can. You will see that I'm getting to know the person. And the more you know the person, the more confident you are. Many of us, we are serving a God we do not know. We are serving a God that our pastors have been talking about. And a God that our parents talked about. But not a God that you have encountered yourself. But I pray for you in the name of Jesus that going forward, you are going to develop a certain habit. The Bible says it was the habit of Jesus to always go to the solitary place to pray. Amen. Because one day, somebody will talk about somebody. You get to meet the person and realize that, no, it's not as the person. Haven't you met people like that? I mean, people say, "Akwa we train, it is train skin, it is train skin." Have you heard something like that before? It is train skin too much. And then you get close to the person, and the person now is the one who is going to serve you. Oh, what would you like to drink? Oh, what? And it's like, as you are sitting in the room, you are confused because what you have heard is different from what you are experiencing. You need to experience the Lord for yourself. You need to experience God for yourself. And how can you do that? How can I do that? I need to spend good quality time in private with Him. Christians, create private time with the Lord. Create private time with the Lord. Some of you, you are able to travel. Huh? Because you want to have private time with your wife. And you can't get any place in Ghana. You take the person to Papua New Guinea. That this is where I want to come and have private time with you. True or not true? But you are saying you can't have private time with the Lord. From today is changing. I said from today is what? Say, Father. Say, Father. May I not be carnal? Help me to be spiritual by paying more heed in the realms of the Spirit. Having a private life with you. Lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit. Rise to your feet. Say, Holy Spirit, help me not to be like ordinary men are. I want to be that type of person who acknowledges God, who sees God, who spends quality time with God in the private place. Lord, help me not to be that Christian who only thinks about the camel. Now lift your hand and begin to pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to develop a certain devotion. A certain devotion. A certain devotion. A certain relationship. A certain relationship. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Open your mouth. Wherever you are, open your mouth. You know, some of us, we've not prayed for a long time. So prayer is a difficulty. But from today, you must decide that, look, I am going to be a prayer person. Spend time. Open your mouth. An opportunity, an avenue has been given to you to pray. Oh, yes. Speak to the Father in heaven. Open your mouth and pray to Him. Speak to Him that, Father, let your will for my life and let your will for the kingdom be established. Help us to live for you, Lord. Help us to please you. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Wherever you are, lift your voice and pray. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let your will, Lord. Your will, not our will, but your will. Your will. Your will. Rapale da la Bolo Kabala Pali and Lele. Rabadaba Palabapa. Sintolo Kali and Lele. Somebody open your mouth and pray. Father, let your will be done. Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be done in my life. Oh, yes. Let your will be done, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
Let your will be done.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Let your will be done.
Jesus. Your will alone.
Kabarande de
bikara baba. Your will alone. Your
God
will alone.
Wants to have a public show of you. But you can never experience that public show unless you develop a private life with him. Until you develop a time, a special time. With him. Father, this morning we thank you for your word of truth. We thank you for the revelations we've received. We thank you that you want us to do better in our relationship with you. I'm lifting your sons and daughters gathered here today, praying that Lord, spending quality time in our closet will become our priority. Because your word says that the Lord who seeth in secret will reward us openly. May we catch this revelation, O God, knowing that open rewards only comes when we have spent time in the secret place. Your word says that they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress, my rock, my God. In him will I trust. Help us. Lift your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Holy Spirit, influence my thoughts. Influence my heart. Holy Spirit, influence my prayer life. May I not go weary. May I not give up. May I enjoy the quality moments that I spend with my Savior in the secret place. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. As we close our eyes briefly, as we close our eyes briefly, I want to pray for you this morning. You cannot leave this meeting without taking a decision. You know, day in and day out, we are adding to our age. We are not becoming any younger. As if it's only the aged that dies. It's not the case. You can never tell when. You may never know. But the truth of the matter is that eternity is real. Heaven is real and hell is also real. And I don't think that God's intends to allow you to go to hell. As a matter of fact, his interest for you is that where he is, you'll be there. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, also believe in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again. And I will receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be. He wants you to be where he is. Listen, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in the body. This body one day will perish. Every person will have his body perish. Everyone One day, this body that you are wearing, this earthly suit, will be put into the ground. Now, what will matter most is your soul. Bible says that what shall it profit a man if he is to gain the whole world? Remember this and lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You want to say, Bishop, pray for me. How can I be saved? How can you be saved? The Bible says that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, in his discussion and conversation with Nicodemus, said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, how can I be born now that I'm old? Should I enter the second time into my mother's womb? He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, except a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter. Hey, having access and entrance, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. As we close our eyes briefly, how can I be born again? All you just need to know and do is to receive Jesus, who died on the cross and shed his blood for us, as your Lord and your personal Savior. Make him the Lord of your life. Receive his love, and you'll be saved. Amen. Now close your eyes. You want to give your life to him? Wherever you are standing, can you just lift your hands? I'm going to pray for you right now. God bless you. God bless you. I can see all those wonderful hands lifted up. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, Jesus loves you. God bless you. God bless you. I see many hands lifted. God bless you. Now, if you've lifted your hands, I want you to do another thing. Can you step forward? Can you just walk to me? I want to pray for you right now. Just walk to me. And carry them with a clap. Come to Jesus. Come. Today is your day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. Tomorrow might be too late. Come. He loves you the way you are. He doesn't want you to perish. The blood of Jesus was shed on the cross for your sins. If you can only believe, you'll be saved. Come. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there are a couple of guys that must respond to this call. You cannot leave this place not taking this all-important decision. As I'm speaking to you right now, you know that if you should die today, you go to hell. But Jesus doesn't want you to go to hell. And that is why I'm preaching about even a certain intimacy that you should have with him. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me. Walk to us right now. Just join us right now as we pray. Join us. As I'm speaking, your heart is beating. Listen, walk to me quickly. He loves you the way you are. Jesus does not condemn you. If anything at all, his arms are stretched towards you to give you life. Precious ones, can you lift your hands to him? Lift your hands to him as a sign of surrender. We want to pray. Lift your hands. God bless you. Pray this simple prayer. Make it your own personal prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. I have heard your word. And I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. And I cannot help myself. This morning, please, I ask for forgiveness. Whatever sin that I have committed, whatever sin I was born into, today I ask for repentance and I ask for forgiveness. Now I receive you into my heart as my Lord and my personal Savior. I want to serve you all the days of my life. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Say, Lord Jesus, fill me with your spirit. And help me to live for you. From this moment forward, I am grateful. I am born again. Amen. Wow. Put your hands together for the Lord. Congratulations. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, thank you for the life of these precious ones. We thank you for the gift of salvation. Oh, thank you for a fresh ammunition. Fresh protection. The helmet of salvation, Lord, is placed on their heads spiritually. In Jesus' name, amen.